Father, we thank Thee for gathering us for this Adult Sunday class. May Thy Spirit come and bless us as we study the visions of the night visions of Zechariah. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. The people in Israel has returned from captivity in Babylon after 70 years, and God has instructed them to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The instruction to build was given, but the people end up building their own lives and not God's house. What was the significance of that? Well, you see, when God asked Israel to build the temple, God was asking them actually to build their lives strong again. But they went about building their lives their own way. And the Bible says that they did not prosper. They said all that they earned were put in a pocket that is filled with holes, so they couldn't contain what they have, because they have not sought God and put God first in their lives. And this is an important lesson that God has for us. How important it is that we put God first in our lives. When we put God first in our lives, then our life finds a blessed order. Why is it so important? Well, because God is the one who made us, you see. And if we follow Him and walk in His ways, you will find that life will be blessed of God. God's peace and God's joy, God's protection, God's care surrounds us. When we don't have that, no peace, no joy, wow, life is miserable. Right? When there's no peace, no joy in the heart. Israel was in that state. They did not put God first. And sometimes, you know, we think that we can go about running our lives. But God said that, no, you build the temple first. You come for worship and you establish yourself, identify yourself with the local church and serve there. And be accountable there amongst God's people. It is good for you. That was what God said to the people in Israel at that time. And sometimes we think, right, that we said, I will remember the Lord in my better times. I will remember the Lord in my better times. Now is bad time. Cannot remember the Lord. Ah, is there a faulty thinking over there? Of course there is. Right? The Lord says to us how important that we are to remember Him first. If we put Him first, then you'll find that, you know, you don't end up paying for bills that you don't seem to be able to finish paying. You put God first, and God brings an order back to your life. Give your tithes to God. That is the beginning of responsibility and fear of God. Huh. Israel didn't understand that. They didn't understand how important it is to build God's house. And they think that it is for God's benefit. No. When we build the house of God, what they were doing is that they are building for their own benefit. This is what God is doing for them to build their spiritual life. It was in the fear of God that God commanded them to build their spiritual life. And if we are wayward, then, you know, we have no priority for life. We have no priority for worship. No priority for God. And it is a telltale sign of a spiritual disease in our hearts. Unless we would repent, there would be no order in our lives. No matter how we try to patch the holes, the leak is still going to continue. That was what happened. And God sent two prophets to Israel. An older prophet by the name of Haggai to jot the people, wake them up, to stop focusing on themselves, but rather come back to God. When they did so, God sent another prophet called Zechariah. Zechariah is this prophet that we are studying here. And Zechariah gave night visions to the people of God who has obeyed the voice of God to begin rebuilding their lives. You know, we think that when you come for worship, you take time to pray, wow, it's going to be a big loss for me. But if you were to think carefully, when you worship God, that is where God is going to stabilize your life. Because He's the giver of all things. Your livelihood comes from Him. He is the one that will determine which is the next job you will get. He is the one who will determine what is the pay rise you will receive. And He will determine also when is the last day you will take your last breath. Do you want to make right with Him? Of course you want to make right with Him. Israel was not right with God. And Israel is God's people. And God loved them very much. God loved Israel. And God wanted Israel to prosper again. And that is why God gave to Zechariah these visions. Right, the first vision that we saw over the last week or 2 weeks ago, we said that God showed to Israel the prosperity that they will see in the future. Right? Sometimes when we are laboring, when you are building, it's hard work. Little by little, you labor. Little by little, you press on. And you don't seem to be able to see much progress in your labor. Surely, the Lord is helping you. Surely, the Lord is helping you make that progress as you struggle, as you seek, and as you follow. Israel was asked to be patient. And God showed them the glorious future ahead. So although the second temple that they will build would be a far cry from the glory of the first temple that Solomon had built. The older folks cried when they saw the new temple. So lack of glory, lack of rigor from the previous temple. But Zechariah told his people, the people of God, not to be discouraged. Because you are building for a greater future when you train your children, when you take time to worship and build, you are building for a future that is to come. And it's painstaking. And God sent words of encouragement through all these night visions in order that Israel may know, may learn, may be encouraged, may be strengthened to press on. Verse 18 of Zechariah chapter 1. Then lifted I my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be this? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come this to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. What is a horn? Zechariah saw a horn. The horn of an animal, is like a symbol of power. The power of the horn is in its effectiveness as a defensive weapon. You know, the goat has a horn. Right? The horn is to protect it from its predators. Horns are pointed bony structures on the heads of male sheep, goats, deer, cattle, oxen. They give to the animal a regal look and provide an impressive endowment it is a symbol of power. It is a symbol of pride. So Zechariah saw four horns. So the idiom that was used in verse 1, verse 18, it says, therefore, it says here that it's a term that is used to lift up the horn. Is to be proud, right? To be proud of our conscience strength. Right? To have the horns coming out of the hands is to have power in one's hands. Right? This is figurative language in English. Okay? And why four horns? Well, I submit to you that the four horns probably to the four cardinal points of the compass that includes every possible direction. The enemies of God's people come in all directions. Wherever the people of God turn, there is a power to oppose them. Right? When Israel was back in the land, surrounding them were all enemies, and they were hostile to their existence. Such was the situations of the Jews then, with the Assyrians, with the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, the Sumerians on the north, and the Egyptians of the south, the Philistines on the west and the Amorites and the Moabites on the east. They were encircled by foes. It's still the same today. I was reading a map that was describing how when Israel went back to the land after 1948, how the enemies were so, or the nations surrounding were so upset that they gathered themselves together with superior tank power, with superior air power, with superior army, sought to, well, in the words of the enemy, drive them into the Mediterranean Sea. God said to Israel, yes, all around you, strong powers, all around you, proud enemies who sneer at you, who sought not your comfort, not your prosperity. But be comforted. Verse 18 says, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said to the angel, what are these horns? And he says, these are the horns, or these are the nations, these are the countries which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. We all know from history. Who are those that, who are the nations that God had sent to chastise Israel every time they were wayward? And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Now, when you talk about the enemies, we are talking about enemies seeking to disrupt, discourage the people of God. Then God showed the solution. Four carpenters. Okay, four carpenters. It says here in verse 20. And the Lord showed me four carpenters and said, I, what come this to do? And he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them. So the carpenters came to fray the horns, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. So this, the Lord says that, you know, he's sending help to overturn this power, in other, these powers that be, in other words. So, you know, sometimes in our weakness, right, when we are faced with great challenge in our life, right, it's as if, you know, everything is falling apart. Right. Remember that the Lord is with you. Although things seem to be falling apart, God will see to it that it won't fall apart. And you are to trust Him to take care of you. You are to trust Him to make a way out for you. You are to trust Him to give you, provide to you the solution to your problem. You are to wait upon Him. You are to call upon Him. And you are to trust Him. And this was what Zechariah was shown. Right? That although there were all these powers that were, in a sense, bullying Israel, right? But God is raising up a standard against these powers, the four carpenters. By way of application, to counter the enemies of the church, Reverend Ting Li Mei. Ting Li Mei was called the praying saint of China. He formed prayer bands. each prayer band came together as a praying circle. His converts all over China made up these prayer bands, and their motto, trusting the Lord, we get victory. So what do you do? Well, pray. Come together and pray. Trusting the Lord, we get victory. Indeed, over the last few days, we were in the thick of battle. And there were those who were on their knees interceding for us. That's why we had the victory. We didn't fight the battle alone, but we were confronted with the enemy. God provided the solution. There were those who were praying. This is the picture of the four carpenters that broke the four horns into pieces. For every enemy, there is an instrument that God raised to counteract it. Hence, although on all sides there were enemies to oppose the erection of the temple and the completion of the city, God provided a neutralizing, counteracting power adequate to destroy them all. So you see how God is aware of your situation, how God is aware of what you are going through, how God is aware of what is in your heart, the sorrow that is in your heart, the Lord knows. And the Lord says, hang on there, hang on there. What a tremendous boost of morale for God's ailing children. When you're in the middle of a trial, life can be tough. When you are being tried, things can be tough and difficult. And it is there that you feel how weak you are. And you are at a loss what to do, how to move forward. Well, for the people of God, we move forward on our knees. At the throne of grace, when you seek God and His mercy and His power. And we said that, you know, the man who was saved, the family members has been praying for many, many years. Many, many years. Many, many years. And God was merciful. At the right time, God intervened, God acted, and God gave a protection surrounding the environment, allowing us to, giving to us the strength, giving us to us a clear moment, a clear time whereby we could escape, get there. Sow the seed. Harvest the soul. God provided a neutralizing, counteracting power adequate to destroy them all. What a tremendous boost of morale for the God's ailing children. All who endeavor to serve God will face the adversary's wrath. Pray unceasingly. The church corporate prayer meeting is God's appointed powerhouse to counteract all enemies of the church. May the Lord help us to pray and take time to pray with God's people. Problems are solved when we pray. I recall when I was in the workplace, on Monday morning, we always, with another brother in Christ, meet to pray. Simple, we read a passage of devotion, and then we'll write down our prayer items. And, you know, wow, full of problems. Full of, in our trade, we said full of lying downs. Lying down means that you don't have a product to deliver. Right? The manufacturing line is down. They employed all the workers, and all the workers are sitting there in the manufacturing line, and you don't have the product to deliver. That's a line down. Wow. Serious, you cannot connect the manufacturing line. So you have to pay for the workers, you have to pay for the overtime, you have to pay for all the things. Then the late delivery to their customer. Wow. How to solve all this? You know, you see that all these things are beyond you. You are just a simple employee in the company trying to get your job done. So we said, let us pray. And God never fails to solve the problems that we have. Every week, problem solved. God provides a way. And we can attest, right, to answered prayer. You can think, say, okay. Answered. Resolved. God helped. Israel needed that encouragement. The enemies surrounding them were powerful. The enemies surrounding them were fierce. And they were weak. They realized their vulnerability. And God wanted them to see their vulnerability. But God also wanted them to realize His ability to help them. And that is why God gave to Zechariah these visions. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1-5. I lift up my eyes again. That's the third vision. And looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Now, this third vision is a continuation of the first vision. In Zechariah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The measuring line signifies the blessing of God in the enlargement of Jerusalem. You know, the city is built outwards. Right? Built itself outwards. Okay? And so the measuring line is to show that the city is going to expand itself. And God is going to show them that there is a great future ahead for you. You're going to heaven. The stretching forth of a line refers to the work of rebuilding the temple and the city of Jerusalem. When you're asked to build, right, it's hard work. Every brick you have to lay it. And when Israel was asked to build the walls again, what happened? Well, they had to take, on the one hand, the building tool, on the other hand, a sword. The sword and the trouble. They have to defend themselves because the enemy is going to ambush them at any can ambush them at any time. And then they have to build. Wow. They are on their toes all the time. Sometimes you ask yourself, how long can you live such a life? On your toes all the time. But let's come out of it and realize that this is reality, life on earth. You may be on your toes, you may be on the alert, but God's sustaining grace is with you. God is taking care of you. He is sustaining you to helping in helping you through. Do not be discouraged. He will let you see better days. So this is what the third vision is all about. God is giving to them a vision of the future. And God is so good, right? Show you the future so that you can build towards a better future. He didn't leave us without a knowledge of where we are going. He tells us that you are going to be there, you know, and He gives us in His word that He's going to build for us a new heaven and a new earth. This earth and this world is going to be destroyed by fire. Everything is going to be gone. So if you lay your foundation here, well, you'll find that you're going to be somewhat disappointed. But if you were to lay your foundation for eternity, you do the things that can last for eternity, then you're not going to be disappointed. Because you're going to reap the good benefits of eternity's reward that is before you. So God gave to Zechariah the vision here concerning the future glory of Jerusalem. In the first vision, the pre-incarnate Christ was sitting on the red horse, signifying His abiding presence with His children. Now, Zechariah saw Him holding a measuring line in His hand as the architect of architects. The purpose is to measure Jerusalem. You know, how will this church grow? Jesus Christ, the head of this church, is the author and the definer of its enlargement. If we realize that, then, you know, we would go to Him and seek His wisdom. The angel that talked with Zechariah is the interpreting angel. He was met by another angel who instructed the interpreting angel to run in order to describe the future glory of Jerusalem to the young man Zechariah. So that young man there is Zechariah. The urgency to uplift a downtrodden heart is the command to run. Sometimes you have a good news, you want to do something good for somebody, it requires some effort from you. It requires some hard work from you. Run! Tell him the good news. Run! Show him the way out. This was what he did. The urgency to uplift a downtrodden heart is the command to run. Do you know of someone in trouble? Someone in some crisis in life? Can you lend a practical helping hand to such a one who is in trouble? Run! the angel was asked to go and show to Zechariah the future glory. And sometimes, you know, our hearts are sinking. If you go to the mental institute, you would see a figurine called Sayang. The hand there holding another man. This other one was sinking down. And this hand there was trying to uplift. That hand, I said, I thought, better be very strong. Right? If you want to help somebody, you yourself have to be strong. You want to hold up another hand, wow, you better be strong. So we have to build ourselves strong. Build our lives strong. So that we would be in the position of stewardship. You know, God don't give us, put us in a position of stewardship without a responsibility that He has entrusted to us. He doesn't give to us things or give to us abilities without needing us to use them, exercise them. And that is what the Lord wants us to think about. And here, you know, the angel was asked to run, to uplift the downtrodden heart of the prophet. He's supposed to talk to the people who is building, and the people are discouraged. What to tell them? The angel was asked to run. Go and tell them. Show them the future of Jerusalem. See the line stretching out. Now this is going to be what the future is going to be. So glorious, so happy, so great. Don't be discouraged. You are laying that brick piece by piece to build the wall. Persevere on. Persevere on. This is a vision of the millennial kingdom, when Christ will rule for 1,000 years with peace on earth. The Prince of Peace, who is also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will destroy all of Israel's enemies to establish his undisputed global rule from Jerusalem. You know, Israel wanted to declare, or there was a they had to declare Israel's capital as Jerusalem, right? Half the world, or 90% of the world, says no. Right? You cannot declare your capital as Jerusalem. But who says that Jerusalem is Israel's capital? God says that. And why is that so important? Because the Bible tells us that Christ Himself is going to rule from Jerusalem physically on earth. Wow. So as you see these things happening, we said Christ is returning again. His saints will rule with Him. The presence of God will guard the city and be her walls. God will be the walls guarding the city. There will be no need for defense with Jesus' rule. All will be at peace. Jerusalem will be a glorious picture of abundant prosperity and populace. What an encouragement to those with feeble hands, sowing the gospel, sowing in tears. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. When you give something to somebody, to share something with somebody, what you sow, the Lord says that in tears will bring with it a rejoicing ripping in the future. So, wow, so happy, isn't it, that you're willing to do some good for Jesus each day. Some little thing you can do. with Jesus is present hope and future glory. The Lord wants us to know that we have a glorious future ahead. And He wants to give you the strength to work hard for Him today. Zechariah 2, verses 6 to 9. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Right? The apple of your eye is the black part, right? The most vulnerable part. Oh, that's where you know you have your sight. And that's also the most vulnerable part, you know, of the body. Right? And the Lord said that you are so precious, you are like the apple of the eye. For I, behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 17 verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Keep me as that precious, as your precious child. And do you know that you are very precious in the sight of God? God wants you to know that you are very precious in His sight. And that he wants you to know that you are very significant. You know, this morning I was walking and I... was it yesterday I was walking and I saw some sparrows. Sparrows flying. And I remembered the Bible verse that says, you are more precious than many sparrows. I remind myself that, hey, your God is God cares for you, you know. You are more precious than many sparrows. Sometimes we think that, hey, we are alone in our struggles, but we are not alone. Right? So God sent the sparrows to tell us that, hey, you are more precious than many sparrows. Does it not encourage your heart to know that, hey, you have a family father in heaven who takes care of you, who is able to help you? You have no strength, no ability, but He gives you that ability and the strength. You can trust Him to do that for you. God loves Israel with an everlasting love. The pupil or the apple of the eye is very precious. The expression is used to describe a person who is very dear to God. You are very dear to God. A wayward child is chastised by a loving father. And this is always done to correct sin that is heinous in the sight of God. God made a way back for Israel after 70 years of captivity. The human yoke was lifted. The oppression will not go on forever without relief. It, as Israel cried out in utter despair. Sometimes you cry out in your trial. How long? How long? Cannot take it anymore. Cannot hold on anymore. Well, be comforted. Right? God knows how much you can take. God knows how much you can take. He will not allow you to give you anything that is more than you can take. He will always give you something that you can bear. God will not give you anything that is too much for you to bear. And if you understand that, then you know that His grace will see you through. You see, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult the situation may be. When you see a beautiful garden in an estate, we admire its beauty and praise God for its wonderful creation. Blooming flowers and sprouting shoots, budding, are the result of the careful work of the gardener. There are those who God endowed with a skill to plant a plant and it will grow, and He knows how to add the fertilizer. He knows how to twill the plant such that, you know, it will look glorious and beautiful. God takes care of His people. You know, He wants to make our lives beautiful. And He would take out the weeds that harm the plant. As a good gardener will do that. Take out all the weeds that will harm the plant. God will not allow His children to be bullied without protecting them like the pupil of His eye. So verse 9 says, He shake His hand, shake the hand, right? For behold, I will shake my hand upon them. It's an expression of His power to vindicate. Now, sometimes we are in situations whereby we have no power to right the wrong that we suffer. You have suffered. And you have no way to right whatever wrong. Well, we have a God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His justice. He is able to right all wrong. If you would call to Him, if you would ask Him, will He not help you? He will surely help you. Remember, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Right? Luke 18 verse 1, and He gives a story of the widow. The importunate widow, facing problem, don't know what to do, going to the unjust judge to ask for redress. The judge was unjust, so how to find redress with an unjust judge? How to find redress with a corrupt man? Well, God, Jesus used this example in order to tell us that you have a fair heavenly Father who is a loving Father. If you would call to Him, will He not help you? Of course He will help you. He will avenge them speedily, the Bible says. He will be there to help you. Of course He will help you. Men ought always to pray and not to. And so God Himself undertakes to protect His people and vulnerable children. And that's what God is doing. God protects you. God knows you are precious in His sight. And God undertakes by Himself to protect you. You know, we said to the departed, the loved ones of those of the departed, we loved this man who has departed. We all loved him. But our love for him cannot be more than what Jesus has done to show His love for him. Jesus died for him. Our love cannot be compared to His love. He bore our sins on the cross. Our love cannot be compared to Christ's love. When Jesus bore our sins upon the cross, He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was He forsaken? Of course not. But it was in the will of the Father that the Son would willingly lay down His life to be the bearer of sin for us. He bore our sins on the cross. He took our sins. He is the one who truly loved us. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. We can go to Him. We can call to Him. God is a God of promise. He keeps His word to protect His children, even when that seems impossible. May we not crumble in the face of distress. May we be strong to trust the Lord. We will see better days. There will be better days to come. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy. Thank Thee for Thy grace in showing us these visions of Zechariah to encourage our heart that we are not alone. We are not orphans on earth, but we are the children of a loving Father who created all things and who is still sustaining all things. Lord, may Thou strengthen the hearts of Thy people to comfort them, to keep them, to bless them. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.